101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Holy full gear, Batman! Oh my gosh, it is a melee in Minneapolis tonight. Unbelievable evening so far. Coming out of the Target Center, we are going to cover this thing for you live. And of course, talk about all the rest of the news that's fit to print here in professional wrestling. Here on the Mark Hoke Show, I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us on KDWN. 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the talk of Las Vegas' station. So twice, they got to put it out there twice. And speaking of twice, I've got two hosts with me tonight. I'm very excited. First, I've got to introduce my good buddy, James Samuel, Mr. Saturday Night. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, boss?
How's it going for you?
Oh, man, good, man. Ready to do the main event where our, special legend, on with us as well tonight. It's awesome.
Yeah, this has been a heck of a card so far. And from future stars of wrestling, who, by the way, they've just got a little event coming up here on the 27th, just a tiny one. Man, it is Hammerstone and Brian Cage are going to be showing up here in Las Vegas. Thanks to this guy, Joe DeFalco. What's up?
I'll tell you, the most exciting thing coming out of the pay-per-view tonight, Baron Von Raschke's still alive.
You stole that joke from me. I was so excited to see Baron Von Raschke doing the claw again. That was amazing. I didn't know he was still around either. That was awesome.
He's like 109.
Something like that. Man, I still remember him doing, I believe he was one of the ones that lost the AWA titles to the Road Warriors way back in the day, if I'm correct. Baron Von Raschke and the Crusher, if I remember right?
Who knows? That was before my time.
Oh, stop it. Don't lie. But all I know, too, is, by the way, I think I had a jumpsuit like Dan Lambert has on right now. I think I did. I know I had the headband, but that's kind of scary, too. Did you guys have the velour jumpsuit?
No, I don't even know what that is.
I always had the Zuba pants. Those were big for me.
I had Zubas too.
Yeah, I was born in 1990, so I don't know.
James, they are so comfortable. You love them. But for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, I guess I probably should have set this up a little better. Right now, going on is All Elite Wrestling Full Gear pay per view coming out of the Target Center in Minneapolis. And, the trash cans and the kendo sticks are out because the Minneapolis street fight is going on. That's the next to last match on the card right now. But, guys, and, of course, I was producing another show while the pay-per-view was on. So I got to see the first couple of matches before 6 o'clock. Then I've been kind of glancing back and forth. But so far, your thoughts on what's been going on this pay-per-view at this point? Let me start with you, James. What are you seeing?
Me was what I loved so far was the Lucha Bros. Like I said, I think they're an all-time great tag team. I think they need to be spoken about more than they do.
Yeah, great match from them. So far, Joe, what are your impressions of this pay-per-view?
Be honest with you, I haven't seen too much of it. My son's watching it over here. I saw, Punk was bleeding up a storm. But I've seen a lot of people complaining about the finishes because there's so much interference always going on in that show.
Yeah, there has been a lot of interference. The tag match with the Lucha Brothers and FTR was kind of a little weird. But I was going right on the air with the show I was doing before that when that whole thing broke down. So I kind of had to turn the volume down. But let's give an update on what has been going on so far tonight. First on the buy-in pre-show match, Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa did beat Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose, so nice win for there. And I thought the ladies looked pretty good, all four of them. It's really starting to show. You know, that AEW women's division is pretty solid. There's still some women they're featuring on TV that are a little bit green, but I'll tell you what, they've got a pretty good crew of women there, that's for sure. Anybody want to take a stab at that?
Well, I think the WWE's women's division is still, top of the line. There's a lot of girls in AEW that probably shouldn't even be on television.
Yeah, I hate to name names on that. Bunny's a little rough. Anna Jay's still a little rough. But, they've all just started wrestling. So, leaving them, I think, on the YouTube channel for a while, it wouldn't be a bad idea. But, there's definitely a lot of talent there. And it was good to see Vicky Guerrero out there today, by the way. Of course, today's the anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's death, in case you didn't know. So, viva la raza. But Vicky got out there. I would have liked to see them win the match for Vicky, but that's the way that goes. The kickoff match, two of the four pillars, as they're calling them, MJF and Darby Allin. What an amazing match that was for two guys that are so young. Great ring presence. There were a couple of kind of spots in there, but overall, what a fantastic match that was. And boy, the crowd was into it. I thought it flowed really well, and a smart finish. I really enjoyed that. James, what did you think of the performance at MJF and Darby Allin tonight?
I like that match due to the storytelling they used in that match. So MJF is mostly saying that he's a much better wrestler, technical wrestler, than Darby Allin. So they started off the match in a technical way of him showing that. And then Darby Allin wanted to show that he's more than just spots, more than just, the spot monkey, so to speak. So he was showing his technical acumen. And then they started flowing with their typical offenses to, go towards the finish. So I think a great ring psychology from two young, pillars of that company.
Joe, you train wrestlers at the FSW Academy. When you see those two guys at such a young age performing that well, and maybe you disagree, I don't know, but the future is so bright for both of them, and to me especially MJF. I think he's one of the guys that's going to be the future of professional wrestling. What do you see when you see those two?
Well, the difference is, as good as Darby is, not much of a talker, and in this day and age you really got to get yourself over, and I don't think there's anybody better than MJF. That's why I was kind of disappointed that, a guy like Jericho didn't need to get the win against him in the feud, but he did. And it was like, that's how you build stars, It was always like the Cena treatment that we would talk about, how they brought guys up and they gave him the big push, and then all of a sudden Cena would smash him and they'd have to start all over again. And it's like, we talked when you were talking about the predictions last week. It was like MJF better win. If he doesn't win, then where do you go with him? So, he's a guy that literally is a future heavyweight champion.
Yeah, I his ring style, I think, is very smart. I remember he did an interview where he said, I don't do flips. I don't do all that crazy stuff in the ring. But if you watch this match tonight, he's capable of doing whatever he wants in the ring. He's a terrific athlete. And he just chooses to do things from a more psychological standpoint, and I just think it makes his matches so much better than a lot of other people's, because of the way he carries himself and the way he plans matches out.
I think he's one of the last great throwback heels, to where he does his moveset in a way to where he doesn't do anything super spectacular, because you'd be like, MJF is good at that. So he just keeps winning and winning, but you still hate him so much that you feel like, how's he keep winning? He's not even that good. But of course, people like us with a train, I know he's, how great he is. But to the audience, they're like, how does this kid keep winning? He's not even that good. So it builds into his persona of just being a hateable heel.
And Joe, as someone who does train wrestlers, there was one thing that match I'm really curious about. They did a spot where MJF did a power bomb onto his knee with Darby Allin. How dangerous is that spot? Because I see that as, you know, just a fan, I look at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, man, that could lend itself to something really bad happening. But what do you think about that move? I'm just curious because it really looked like, yeah.
Well, you know, the idea is to make it look that way. And when, you know, I'm sitting watching, I generally do commentary for my shows, and you see things and you're like, oh man, that's got to hurt. And then you talk to the guys afterwards and it's like, oh no, that went out great, blah, 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 blah. You know, nobody wants to hurt another person, you know, in most cases at least. And, you know, if they did that spot, it's because they felt it was safe. And, you know, the best spots are the ones that look like somebody got hurt and, you know, nothing happened to either guy.
Fair enough. I guess I'm going to have to take a few classes, huh?
Yes.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, when Cross, you know, Kevin Cross, he was in Vegas this weekend for RVD's wedding.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, congratulations to Rob Van Dam. Got hitched here in Vegas, so way to go. Way to go him. Let's see. The next match that was on the card, we had Bryan Danielson and Miro in the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament Final. And Bryan Danielson gets the win. I'm kind of not liking this Miro's next week thing, but Bryan Danielson, a pretty good match there. Now, does this change anybody's opinion? Because I know, I think, Joe, that we're the only people on the planet that pick Kenny Omega to win tonight. But does this cement that, or do you still think Paige could possibly get over here?
Well, I didn't think he was going to win in the first place just because of that. There was too many guys, too many dream matches. You know, Danielson and Omega needs to be, you know, a lot of times you say, well, they don't need the title. You know, it's a big match. But it's a bigger match because it is for the championship. And I don't think Paige has the momentum that he did a long time ago in AEW. Like, he was the hot commodity, number one baby face that they really were looking like that this is the guy that, you know, they're going to give him the belt and they're going to make the slow build. But right now, I just don't know if he's, you know, the right guy for it. You know, is that a dream match to anybody, Adam Page and Danielson?
That's my question. James, what do you think about the match and where they could be going with this?
I honestly think that Paige is going to lose tonight and win the belt in his hometown on Dynamite.
Ooh.
That's my prediction.
Ooh, that's an interesting thought. By the way, I'd just like to congratulate Dan Lambert for taking a stapler to the Huevos Rancheros here in this street fight match. And I just lost my prediction. Chris Jericho has pinned Dan Lambert of America's Top Team. And it is all over. So the Minneapolis street fight has gone to the inner circle. Congratulations to the boys there. But wow, that's a rough way to lose a match. I hope the jumpsuit protected him.
It probably did.
I would certainly hope so. But yeah, so Chris Jericho getting the pinfall there, and we are on.
My thing is, what are all these Chris Jericho wins leading to?
That, Joe, that's a good question. What are all these Chris Jericho wins leading to?
I'm not sure. I told you he should have lost to MJF. You know, Chris Jericho's 51 years old. You know, he's still Chris Jericho. So it's like anybody beating him is a big deal. That's supposed to elevate you. But if he's not losing to these guys, then how are they getting elevated? You know, hey, Jungle Boy got to wrestle. Oh, Jungle Boy did really well, but he lost. You know, and it's like, as we see how Jungle Boy's over, maybe that win over Jericho could have catapulted him a little bit more. It's like, he's a guy who doesn't need the wins. He doesn't need to be wrestling on every show. They got 8 million guys on that roster. Like, he should be that special attraction. Like, he was in WWE. He'd come in, all of a sudden he'd work a great feud with Shawn Michaels, and then all of a sudden he came back and he worked Kevin Owens, and was, you know, he was always brought in. You know, he'd wrestle for 3 months and go play with his band for 6 months.
Yeah, so we'll see where all this turns out. Unfortunately, I didn't get to you know, been obviously I'm running the board here too, so I haven't been able to really watch the match in detail. But I'll be curious to see what everybody's reaction is to that. And you know, I really want to see where Junior Dos Santos goes, because I think he's got some serious potential. He's looked good so far. He seems to kind of understand the psychology of everything a little bit. So, you know, I think the future with Junior Dos Santos could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, you could take on Cain Velasquez.
There you go. We'll do that. Plus, yeah,
I'll bring them all in.
You know, and I'm sure Jake Hager's hoping for a match with that. I mean, I know you guys are big on him, but yeah, I think you could really have a fun setup with that.
No, that's totally incorrect. That was I loved Jack Swagger, and it was like all he's done is come in to be Chris Jericho's lackey, like Santana and Ortiz. I think those are three of the guys that they've most missed the boat on. You know, other than that, before that was Lucha Brothers, and now they finally have given him the run. But man, Jack Swagger. Oof.
Well, by the way, I got to say something here real quick. We got some breaking news as the AEW boat has just gotten another passenger. If you are not watching the pay-per-view, Jay Lethal just walked in the door. So it appears.
Yeah, that's what he just said. Yeah, my kid was just telling me. No wonder why he didn't answer my text today.
There you go. So Jay Lethal, of course, the multiple-time Ring of Honor world champion and world tag team champion, and is making his appearance here in AEW for the first time. Crowd's going crazy. Jay's got his hand on Tony Schiavone's shoulder, and there's a couple of big smiles going on there. So Jay Lethal to AEW.
The first guy to drop, the big name that drops somewhere.
So this just crowds the picture even more, but this is exciting. I want to get more match results in here, but Jay Lethal coming to AEW certainly opens some more opportunities. And boy, you just start thinking about some of the matches he could be having as well. I know this is really instantaneous, guys, but where do you see Jay Lethal fitting in this picture? James, I'll give you that one first.
I would say he probably goes into that TNT title picture. I think they probably already have their world title, you know, scene pretty planned out. So those guys seem like they have their booking, I think, like, you know, months in advance.
And I'm trying not to laugh right now at what you just said, but guess who is on the stage right now with Jay Lethal? Sammy Guevara, TNT champion.
Hey, you know, I'm pretty smart.
Not bad. That was instantaneous. This is what you get from the Mark Hoke Show here on KDWN. Best in pro wrestling. I got some good people around me, that's for sure. So Joe, you know, you've talked to Jay a bunch of times. You know him. Your thoughts on Jay Lethal to AEW?
You know, as long as he can work FSW, I'm extremely happy for him. If he can't work FSW, I think it was a horrible move on his part.
Well, another exciting name going into AEW.
Yeah, right, you know, now. I'm assuming he might have the shot. We were talking about, because Jay's very big on, you know, training young wrestlers, and we're putting together an idea for, like, you know, a 2-day, you know, training camp with Jay Lethal. And I talked to him a little earlier this week about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely down for that. And then yesterday, I'm like, hey, we got a date, February 4th. It's going to be the Mecca. You know, we're calling it Doomsday. I don't know why, but we're telling everybody TikTok. So, again, don't know why. But the idea was to bring in Jay Lethal. You know, we just got Davey Richards for our Limitless tournament on December 10th.
Oh, awesome.
And we got Davey Richards for the Mecca event. The Mecca event's a totally different event. That what we do is, you know, a few of our really top guys in FSW, the Hammerstones for sure, and, you know, whether it's one of our tag teams or Remy Marcel or just some of our mainstays, but the majority of guys that we use are going to be those big names. You know, we're talking to some huge names, you know, to come out, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to replace Ring of Honor that used to come out here with all those big name guys. So, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, there's a lot of good talent in Ring of Honor that now we're talking with Flip Gordon. You know, there's just so many opportunities to have these dream matches that you couldn't have before because, you know, when you worked at Ring of Honor, it was exclusive. You know, you couldn't work anywhere else. The only reason Kenny King was able to work some of our shows, but we couldn't promote him, it was because he was exclusive. But since he was a trainer at our school, they at least allowed him to work our shows. But how great is it to work a show with Kenny King, and then we can't, like, promote the fact that Kenny King's on our show?
If you get Dalton Castle in, I'll be one of the boys.
Dalton Castle's a guy that, you know, 3 years ago, he was, like, the rising star of professional wrestling. I know he got hurt, but they really have done that, done nothing with him over the last few years. It's pretty disappointing.
I know. I still like Dalton Castle, so... I really enjoyed his run in Ring of Honor. He was hilarious. Anyway, we'll make sure we remind everybody about our special announcement that we have for tomorrow's show coming up. By the way, we'll do it now. Booker T going to be on the show tomorrow. So don't forget that. And, of course, he has his One Night in Vegas card coming up at the MGM Grand Ballroom on Friday the 19th. So make sure you go get your tickets and, of course, tune into the show. And cool thing, Joe, you've got him down at your place on next Thursday, correct?
Yes, next Thursday. Booker T is going to be there. He's going to be doing a seminar with some of our young students. Obviously, he's such a big name. You know, we got half a dozen people coming in from Arizona and California, students that, you know, want the opportunity to gain some knowledge. And over the last week, you know, they're using our ring. They're using our, you know, our crew. They're using some of our guys. Maserati and Kenny King are both going to be on the show. Actually, Booker was supposed to call me today. He didn't. But I gave him, you know, some links to some of our guys because he wants to use some. And we've also talked about if he comes back, the reality of, you know, his company and our company possibly doing a joint show together.
I think that would be amazing. So make sure you listen to the show tomorrow. If you want to learn a little bit about being a pro wrestler from one of the greatest of all time, get on down to FSW's facility on Thursday. And then Friday night, come on out. I'm going to be there at the reality wrestling show at the MGM Grand. So should be a blast. Hangman Page is on his way, getting in the ring. He is looking jacked up, boys. He is taking some deep breaths, and boy, that's that championship walk for sure. But we'll see where this all ends up tonight. We've got about 2 minutes. Let's see. So let's get back to what else was going on this evening. We had Christian Cage and Jurassic Express against the Super Click. Of course, I got that one wrong. I went with the Super Click, but boy, did that match get nasty! Yikes! But Jungle Boy, Christian made Jungle Boy be bad. Finish it off with a concerto to one of the Young Bucks. And wow, a pretty crazy match there, fellas. A lot of nasty spots in there. What'd you think? James, you saw that, right?
Yeah, they put the thumbtacks in Jungle Boy's mouth. Yeah, it was getting crazy out there.
Yeah, I guess that's why they pay him the big bucks, that's for sure, but... Yeah, that was kind of a rough spot to watch, for no doubt.
You know, a normal Young Buck match, you know, some very, you know, well choreographed spots. Like, you know, I think a lot of people get on the Young Bucks about that, but you got to respect the talent that goes into them pulling those matches, those moves off in every match they're in. Like, those are moves that 5% of the industry can do.
Yeah, and when we get back, we're going to talk more about that, and I'm sure Joe has some thoughts on some of the Young Bucks spot fest things that they do. But we will be returning here shortly. We've got to get a little commercial break in here on the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM 720 AM on your radio dials here in Las Vegas, KDWN.com, round the world. Austria joined the party, by the way, guys. Downloaded in Austria. Well, I'll tell you, this show is taking off fast, and I got some great people to thank for it. So stick around, everybody. We will be right back. More from AEW Full Gear and The Mark Hoke Show when we return.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Oh, baby, it is on in Minneapolis. Hangman Adam Page, Kenny Omega duking it out for the AEW World title. Does a two-year quest for it. Adam Page trying to win this championship end tonight? Or does Kenny Omega walk out with the title? We're probably going to know by the time we get off the air. So if you're not watching it, we'll try and keep you updated as this goes along. And to continue that thought that we were talking about with the Young Bucks, Joe, with the style of matches that are going on AEW, as you're seeing a little more gritty style, and I've seen more of it tonight here on this pay-per-view, is the Young Bucks style with doing a lot of the spotty type stuff, and when we say that, means like highly coordinated, you know, really, you know, like three people doing a kick at the same time or four people doing a really crazy sequence that would never happen in a real fight. Does that style a positive or negative for AEW right now, considering the direction they seem to be going with their matches?
I don't think it's a negative or a positive. I think you need to have a little bit of everything on all the shows or it becomes monotonous. So, you know, their style works great if there's not nine matches of the same exact stuff. You know, when you have room for everything. Everybody's got eclectic tastes, you know, a little hardcore stuff. You know, I always learned that being a DJ, you know, that no matter what song you play, you're going to piss somebody off. You know what I mean? It's like when you worked in a club, you know, if you played rock, the hip-hop people get mad. You played, you know, hip-hop, the rock people get mad. You're never going to make every single person happy. So you need to have enough of everything to make people content on what they're seeing, you know. Watch some of those guys. You know, the Young Bucks aren't the only high flyers that they have in there. You know, there's all different styles. You know, you went down the card. You know, you're going to see. You know, Jay Lethal gets added to the mix, and he's going to have some great technical matches with a guy like, you know, Danielson and Omega and anybody he can work that he, you know, hadn't had the opportunity to. But you're not going to get Eddie Kingston to go in there and do flippy flops, and you're not going to have Lance Hoyt go in there and doing flippy flops. So, you know, having that variety, you know, the Young Bucks were the most popular team in wrestling for a reason. You know, everybody talks about the Lucha Brothers now. You know, I don't think the Young Bucks fly as well as Phoenix does anymore. So, you know, their style is a little different. The Lucha Brothers are a little different. FTR is totally different, and that's what makes it so good, because if everybody was the same, who would care?
Very well said. James, he's good, isn't he?
Oh, he's amazing.
I agree.
And the Young Bucks, by the way, are former FSW Tag Team Champions.
There you go. You have good taste.
Yep, very first show they worked with us.
Nice. That's awesome.
Against Brandon Cutler and his brother, who used to wrestle.
Huh. Go figure.
Yes, that's why they've been lifelong friends. How else do you think he got a job in AEW?
That is a good point. Yeah, and we did mention the Lucha Brothers retained the tag team titles tonight against FTR. Another well-wrestled match there. So Lucha Brothers will continue on. We'll see who their next challenger is going to be. But the Lucha Brothers...
I would think it'd be nice if they brought that Santana and Ortiz guy to AEW, because it would be nice to see them actually wrestle.
God, I want that match. Have they challenged for the title? I don't even think they've wrestled for the titles yet.
If they did, it was a random Dynamite where, you know, Jericho and the crew got involved and it was just another meaningless match. They're the other team who, you know, as I said, Lucha Brothers and LAX, when they were them and Impact, when those guys left Impact, they were somehow the two hottest teams in professional wrestling, you know, signed with AEW, and for some reason, LAX is, you know, they haven't gotten that. the Lucha Brothers push who took a year and a half to get there. So I'm still waiting on it because I remember watching Santana wrestle Phoenix at the Impact tapings in Sam's Town. And, you know, I thought LAX, because at the time they were feuding with the other LAX, which was Homicide and, you know, whoever the other dude was. And I didn't realize how good Santana was till he went against Phoenix. And I'm like, wow, these guys are awesome. And, you know, they've just been, you know, Chris Jericho's driver.
Yeah, so hopefully they're going to get their chance. I think that would be amazing. We also had tonight Cody Rhodes and Pac against Malakai Black and Andrade El Idolo. Yeah, just a great match for very good wrestlers. Cody came out looking pretty passionate tonight. Got to say, he was trying to prove something, I think, this evening. Did you see that, James?
That match, I didn't get to see that match. That's the one of the matches I did not get to see.
What are you doing?
So I heard they were booing Cody.
Well, because, Mark, you didn't really finish because Cody Rhodes in it. So, you know, I just, you know, I could, you know what's going to happen. He's going to come in there passionate. He's going to do that little kick flip thing off the rope he does. He's going to bleed into his little bleached blonde hair. And he's going to probably lose. So that's what's going to happen in the Cody Rhodes match. You don't need to watch it. You already know it's going to happen.
Wow.
Well, that's what should happen. Him lose, but you know.
Well, I'll just
no spoilers.
Okay, I'll try to be good on that one. But all four did a really nice job tonight. Okay, I'll just leave it there. All four of them did a very, very nice job tonight. And let's see. We also had not a surprise. Dr. Britt Baker DMD knocked off Ty Conti. Conti looked solid. Probably wasn't ready for this match yet, but she did well.
This is the problem I have with their division, women's division. I don't feel they build credible programs for her. Like, they just seem to me like showcases of her, like showcases of DMD. Like, who is she going to beat this pay-per-view? You know what I mean? And I think I would not be surprised by 2022. She is the Cody Rhodes of that division, where the fans totally just turn on her.
Ooh, wow.
Well, I think the issue is with her that they haven't built any storylines. Like, what, you know, why aren't they building a Britt Baker Thunder Rosa program?
You know, and I almost wonder if they're holding that off for the next pay-per-view, because that was the match that the lights-out match of the two of them had was unreal. That was one of the best women's matches I've ever seen. So, you know, maybe they're just holding that off. But, of course, we've got to get through the TBS Championship Tournament, see who ends up walking out with that title. But right now, Dr. Britt Baker, still your AEW Women's Champion. And then we had CM Punk and Eddie Kingston tonight. Hard-hitting match. Punk gets busted open. He does get the win, but was not easy. But I'll tell you what, those two showed so much emotion. The selling that both of those guys do, and when someone doesn't move and, you know, they're using their bodies and their faces to express what happens, unbelievable. I mean, those guys just put on a clinic in ring psychology tonight.
That was WCW Bret Hart's best match he's had since he's been at AEW.
Wow. Okay. Wow. James, you're pulling out the bullets tonight, man.
Yeah. I think, like, CM Punk, like, I don't think I've ever been more disappointed with someone in wrestling in a long time. Like, I was so excited when he came through, hear the music, he's back. Dang, CM Punk is back. This is awesome. And then get this met with a whole month of blondness in wrestling Daniel Garcia in 2.0 or 2.5, whatever decimals they are. You know what I mean? Like, for what?
Wow. Joe, what do you think of that?
Well, again, I think he would be more useful as a special attraction. But, you know, from what I understand, he's wanting to work with the younger guys and put them over. And, you know, that's all great. But I think they needed to make him showing up on every show and wrestling, you know, guys that don't even win on AEW Dark. You know, great. Danny Garcia, they signed him. Fuego del Sol, all these guys. So he's going to work them. What is that going to do? You know, people want to see CM Punk and Omega, you know, and him wrestling, you know, every single week, and sometimes he's on twice, you know. You know, you lose the value. You know, there's a reason why The Undertaker only wrestled on special occasions, because if you see it over and over and over, especially as many times as he's come back, well, where's the excitement?
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point. You wonder when the dam's going to break and they're going to finally throw him up against Kenny Omega or Bryan Danielson or somebody along those lines. But I have a feeling, especially with Mox being gone now, I think that time's coming sooner than everybody thinks. But we'll find out. But I'll tell you, it was a great match with Eddie Kingston tonight. And what I did want to talk a little bit about Eddie, because we do have some time. Of course, he had that article that he wrote that was in the Players Tribune, basically talking about his career and his life and where he's been and where he came from. And I really think that a wrestling fan that reads that article got even more of an appreciation for Eddie Kingston than what they may have had before. And I wonder, what is the ceiling for Eddie Kingston in AEW? Do you guys see him as potentially somewhere 2-3 years down the road becoming the AEW world champion, winning a title, or is he going to be kind of more of an attraction type wrestler? Where do you see Eddie Kingston going?
I can see him getting there, but I feel he has to get in shape. Like, I know that's something that he has used to his advantage, that he's talked about, that he doesn't want you, and he's used that in his gimmick, and it's kind of worked for him. But I think for him to get to that plateau, to that main event scene, he's going to have to, you know, do a little body transformation. And I think that's the only thing that would stop him from being a world champion. But I want to swing this to Joe, because he's, you know, the promoter we have on the show. How would you utilize him on your roster?
You know, I think he is that feel-good story that people want to get behind. Now, I would probably position him more as the secondary belt, whether it's the TNT belt. You know, he's a guy that if he can get to that and he can win, it's a big deal. Like, people have gotten behind him. They've rallied around him. So you want to see that guy do well. And every time we talk about Eddie Kingston having a match, it's like, oh, Eddie Kingston, man, that was great. But he lost. You know, the only guy he beat is somebody I didn't think he should have beaten, which was Lance Archer. So, you know, give Eddie a good story. This guy is one of the best promos that's going to be there. He's impassioned. People see the realism. You know, there's always reasons why people get behind somebody. Like I always said, I always loved Shawn Michaels as the heel because I think he was genuinely a prick. And
fair enough.
As a good guy, I just didn't buy it. I just felt he was a phony. And people want to believe. So with Eddie Kingston, people believe, you know, this guy's had a story. This guy has struggled for years, and, you know, he's finally gotten the break of a lifetime. Why wouldn't you want to give that guy some kind of belt instead of having another great match? Oh, him and Moxley was great. Oh, him and CM Punk was great. But you also have to win those matches before people kind of not care anymore. It's like, oh, yeah, he'll give you a good match, and I like watching him, but now you're not going to be behind him. You know, we've seen WWE do that with a lot of guys, that they kind of kill the push, or when Zack Ryder was over and they decided, hey, we didn't get him over. He got his YouTube show, so we're gonna have Cena take his girl and beat his ass. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, well, then at the end, you know, nobody cared about Zack Ryder anymore. And Eddie Kingston, the same thing could happen if over the next 6-12 months he continually loses. What are you rooting for? You're rooting for a loser.
That is a great point. And at the end of the match, if you didn't get to see it tonight, CM Punk tried to shake Eddie Kingston's hand, and Eddie just rolled out of the ring and was pushing the camera away from him.
Oh, frustration. Now you lead him into a heel turn to do what?
Yeah, and that's the problem that I think they're going to run into is people want to root for Eddie. They want to root for Eddie, but it seems like they're going to turn him heel. And to be honest with you, what I thought could have been an interesting twist tonight is if CM Punk would have gone a little more heelish, and all of a sudden now you kind of take CM Punk and make him the bad guy. I mean, and you could have easily done that with the promo that they had, where you know Punk just tore him apart and said, "We didn't think you were any good, and you know you weren't, you know you're a bum." And I mean, that's the way a heel talks.
Well, yeah, he should have came out as the heel. You know, he also talked about when he wasn't wrestling how he hated the fans. You know, but everybody forgot that when he came back.
Yeah. So I think name one
good promo he's had since he came back.
Well, everybody seemed to like the one he did at Arthur Ashe Stadium when he came back.
Yeah, that was a good promo. Yeah, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
He did more like, "I love you guys, or I'm here to stay, blah, blah, blah." Okay, that's cool the first time. We get it. He's been doing that feel every single time. Like, that he's happy to be here. He's not sick anymore. I had to leave where I was sick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just really... I think dropping the ball.
Let me ask you guys this: is this possibly a setup for a heel turn for him?
I was going to say one thing about Kingston. You know, you're not doing him any favors when he has a singles match and it's against John Moxley and it's against CM Punk. You know, he is a guy that people want to like, but people love Moxley. People love CM Punk. You know, have him beat a guy like Jericho in a feud. Have those guys could have a 3-4 month feud led to a pay per view, and Kingston gets over, and he gets over really strong as a babyface. Imagine how much more over as a babyface he'd be if he was wrestling a monster heel that people hated instead of wrestling a guy who's probably more popular than him.
Yeah, and I just wonder, you know, if this CM Punk Eddie Kingston match was more of a CM Punk saying, "I want to wrestle Eddie Kingston," as opposed to, you know, putting it into a storyline and, you know, really,
right.
Because they did rush that. They really did.
Right. They have one match, CM Punk wins, and now they go, Eddie Kingston goes wrestle somebody else. So you didn't give him a story. You have him working other baby faces, and here's a guy that could be, you know, a top-tier baby face if you position him right.
Oh, by the way, now in the match, just real quick, referee knocked out. Don Callis tried to interfere, and
oh no,
Aubrey just ran in
right
after Paige hit his finisher, and it did not get the three count. So we're still on here in Minneapolis.
Here comes the Bullet Club all the way from Japan.
Well, I'm sorry, both you guys had something there, James.
No, I was just saying Don Callis gets more ring time than Orange Cassidy does.
Oh, man. I like James with an attitude. This is fun. Of course, I'm Mark Hoke. We're on the Mark Hoke Show here, the number one professional wrestling show in Las Vegas. Of course, I've been beating all the talk and radio shows here in the city on our Sunday show, which, of course, tomorrow, don't forget, 8 a.m., 11 p.m. Eastern time, Booker T is going to be joining us. And I'm here with James Samuel and future stars of wrestling's Joe DeFalco.
You know, I like these 8 p.m. starts better than the 8 a.m., just so you know.
Well, hey, if you want to keep doing the Saturday, too. They keep offering me to fill this in. I'll take it. You know, it's all good.
Mark, you know why I'm mad, Mark? I feel like...
Why are you mad? Why are you mad?
AEW has a chance to really, you know, put a stamp on this industry and really give WWE a shot for their money. And I think it'd be a precedence for WWE to change their stale booking. But they don't. They don't have any sense of urgency on it. Like, they have these great talents, and they put them in these mediocre storylines and these mediocre, you know, bucking themselves into the corner, taking two people who they could both use, but one of them has to lose and one of them stars diminish. And they have so many production issues. It's just, when are they going to take initiative and really
take a shot.
Wow. Joe, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, look at guys that have come in. You know, Kevin Owens is a guy that probably should be a much bigger star than he is. You know, it's always been stop-go. Same thing with Bray Wyatt. Like, I've said for years, I have no idea what they're doing. You know, I've talked to some inside sources, of course, and talking about how, you know, wondering who was the guy that turned Vince McMahon against Triple H, because it was obvious when you see two of Triple H's prized people in Keith Lee and Cross going to the main roster, and how the burial started there, as we kept hearing about, you know, Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon kind of taking over NXT. So somebody had to poison Vince McMahon on Triple H, which is crazy because that's his son-in-law, who it looked like, you know, he was the guy that people were going to say was going to take over when Vince was done over the daughter and the son. So, you know, but, you know, Vince has those guys in his back pocket that he's given jobs to for 50 years, and they just tell him what he wants to hear. And that's why a Paul Heyman, you know, is up, he's down, he's up and down, because he tries to give Vince the reality of how it really is. And I guess Vince doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah, and I really do wish that they would. If you know, the thing is that Vince fires people when they disagree, and it just makes such a weird dynamic. And you look at just what's going on with Survivor Series, and we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left, so we'll try and get into as much as we can. But you know, the Survivor Series teams come out, and all of a sudden, three people have already been pulled off those teams that they announced a week ago, and the pay per view is next week. What the heck are they doing? You know, Aaliyah wins a match on SmackDown. This is an example. She wins a match on SmackDown. She's off the team. What? Are you kidding me?
Well, and then you
pull Sami Zayn for Jeff Hardy, and you know, the Mysterio thing that happened with.
But it wasn't even pulling him for Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's still in the match.
Von Wagner.
Yeah, I just don't understand where the continuity is there. And, you know, as to AEW, I think one thing that you have a lot of old school guys there, that they're trying to do some slow builds. And by the way, the Young Bucks are now at ringside. And weird stuff going on.
I think the Bullet Club just booked a flight from Tokyo, and they're going to show up too.
And we have a new AEW World Champion. A new world champion has been crowned during the show, too. How about that?
Jay Lethal won?
No.
Oh.
Hangman Adam Page is the new AEW world champion. Trying to figure out what was going on with the Young Bucks.
I don't know. Maybe it's a dusty finish, and he really didn't win yet.
Well, but we'll see how this turns out. But the Young Bucks were kind of given Page the nod of approval before the Buckshot Lariat, and Page is breaking down in the ring, and wow, that's a great moment. Guys, your reaction to Hangman Adam Page as the new AEW World Champion?
So just so you know, I've done this finish numerous times. The referee's down, and then he gets up, and he disqualifies the other guy. Just saying.
And, well, we still got 3 minutes-ish. I imagine they're wrapping up the pay-per-view here pretty shortly, but it's looking pretty good at the moment. We'll see. But
maybe I'm so jaded that I expect it.
Or you could just enjoy the fact that Adam Page, who's been working so hard, a great young wrestler, has finally brought home the AEW World title.
I don't enjoy that. That doesn't do nothing for me.
James, does it do anything for you?
Oh, well, I think the only thing it does for me is that they finally, you know, did a payoff to a story. So, Joe, I think we should give them a little bit of credit for that. You know what I mean? Just a little.
Yeah, I guess so. I just remember years ago when the Reno Scum were our tag champs and they wrestled Adam Page and Jimmy Jacobs. And even though they were winning, they gave the Scum a lot of offense. And they did the poorest job of selling I've ever seen in a match. So maybe I have that animosity toward Adam Page still.
Well, and one thing that's interesting was Page was the one that knocked the referee up, and now the Dark Order is coming out. Yeah, this is looking like it's going to at least hold for now.
Yeah, there you go, and then I'll change it on Friday or Wednesday, one of the two.
God, that would be horrible.
Oh, wait a minute. That's even better. Have him, Kenny Omega, win the belt back in his hometown against, dang, that would be cold. That would be cold.
Oh, my God, that's like a Vince McMahon-y kind of thing to do there. Yikes. But, yeah, so the Dark Order's just hit the ring, and Paige was offered a beer, but he's getting the hug.
How nice. What a feel-good moment. I'm feeling it right here.
Yeah, so.
Wait, is he getting kissed on the cheek, too, simultaneously on both cheeks? Is that happening to you?
I don't know, but all I know is Adam Page is up on the shoulders, and that is it for that pay-per-view, and that's it for us tonight.
Yeah, so, my kid's calling for Bray Wyatt to show up right now and lead the Dark Order and turn on Adam Page.
Oh, that would be amazing. Well, hey, James Samuel, Joe DeFalco, thank you very much, guys. We really do appreciate it. Hey, tomorrow, Booker T, 8 a.m. on the show. Tune on in. We can't wait. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening this evening to the Mark Hoke Show. We appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great night.